Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. In the 12th century text Carmina Burana, the author laments, "Where is the lover I knew? Ah, he has ridden off. Oh, who will love me? Ah." Heartbreak, clearly part of the human condition, but the psychologist Jeanette Paris says new discoveries about how the brain works can help heal the heart. And Paris is coming to Salt Lake this weekend. Today on the program, she joins us to talk about understanding heartache and building on rejection and loss. Jeanette Paris is joining me from the studios in Santa Barbara. And Jeanette Paris, thanks very much for your time.
Most welcome.
Jeanette Paris is a psychologist, a therapist, and an author. Her books include Wisdom of the Psyche, Depth Psychology After Neuroscience. She is core faculty at the Pacifica Graduate Institute in Santa Barbara, and her latest book is titled Heartbreak, Recovery from Lost Love and Mourning. Also with us in studio is Makiel Clerk. He is the founding president of the Jung Society of Utah, and he joins me in studio. And Makiel, thanks so much for your time.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
And if you'd like to join us, we're talking about love, lost love, and rejuvenation. The Jung Society of Utah is presenting workshops with Jeanette Paris about loss and letting go on Friday at 7 o'clock and on Saturday, May 5th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Jewish Community Center here in Salt Lake City. There's more information on our website at kcpw.org. Later on in the program, we're listening to the clear voices of Salt Lake Children's Choir. But first, recovering from lost love. If you've lost a loved one or have been rejected by a partner, what strategies got you through the grief and sorrow? If you'd like to join our conversation about love and neuronal rejuvenation, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Dr. Paris, I want to start with you. Grief, of course, is just part of life. So why did you decide to write this book? You know, why do we need to know how to heal and recover from lost love?
Well, the motivation came from the fact that physically, medically, it's very dangerous. I was told by the, you know, medical establishment that as much as 50% of people coming at emergency hospital rooms thinking they're having a heart attack are not. And what is happening to them is a panic. It's really a panic, and it's called the heartbreak syndrome, which is a ballooning of the heart. So that's only one aspect. It's dangerous. A heartbreak can kill you. And the second aspect that really motivated me is that, in a way, we all need a heartbreak to grow up and understand that, you know, our thinking about love and relationships from time to time needs to be updated. And the best lesson we can have is a heartbreak. So that was the motivation. The other one is the fact that neuroscience now is discovering how everything in our culture impacts the way the brain functions. And really, a heartbreak is something happening in the brain as much as in the psyche. So it's the best demonstration of the essential connection between the body and the mind. And it's fascinating because really what neuroscience is saying is either you evolve and you understand a thing or two about love and relationship, or you get very, very sick and you get very, very depressed, and you have to pay attention to it. It's like an amputation, literally. So a heartbreak is something that asks that you redo all the connections in your brain.
Describe the differences that you see between grief and a failed marriage or a divorce or a failed relationship.
Well, there is no real difference. In fact, loss is loss. So let's say you lose your partner because he or she dies. It's not an offense to you personally. It's not, your ego cannot take it as a blow. But the truth is the partner is gone. And so it's the same thing with a failed marriage, broken relationship, rejection. Loss is loss. And the same process of, amputation is there. In fact, you can even widen the definition of heartbreak to anything that used to be very important in your identity and is gone. So loss of your house, it's happening to a lot of people right now because of the economy. So you lose your house, you lose your fortune, you lose your city, you're an immigrant, you leave your country, you lose whatever used to be part of your life is gone. And it's the same thing. You need to redo all these connections in the brain, just like somebody who is amputated from the right hand has to learn to do everything with the left hand. And heartbreak and loss and mourning are the very same thing. It's just that the circumstances are a bit different. You cannot be angry at the person who died rationally, but in a sense, you are. How dare you die on me? Or how dare you abandon me? The brain doesn't differentiate between all these kinds of losses.
In your book, you write that neuroscience showed me how and why my painful loss was forcing me to evolve, while the depth psychology perspective offered me a map for figuring my way out. First of all, what is depth psychology? Jeanette Paris.
It's any branch of psychology that takes into account the unconscious aspect of all relationships. And that's very fascinating because it includes Freudian, but also Jungian, archetypal psychology, any kind of psychological approach that thinks and teaches that there are always unconscious aspects to all relationships, what often we call projections and, all the good and the bad of the unconscious. Sometimes the unconscious is a guide, and sometimes the unconscious brings up past trauma, the memory of being a small, vulnerable, dependent child. And neuroscience, interestingly enough, confirms that the unconscious truly exists. They don't call it that way. Sometimes they call it pre-verbal memory, but they've demonstrated how those pre-verbal memories that are before we have the language, before 2 years of age, never go away. They're there in the fold of the brain, and define the perceptions, what we have today of love and relationship. So that means that we have in us a perception of the other that makes it impossible not to feel threatened by loss of love, because love is crucial to survival. When you're a little person, if you are not taken care of, you die. Animals know that. That's why, little mammals will complain and cry and beg for rescue, because the mother, the little dog will signal his distress by a sound that tells the mother, "I'm here, come and rescue me." So, and we have that because we are mammals. So this never goes away. Never, never, never. So in a heartbreak, this panic, this limbic, it comes from the limbic aspect of the brain, comes back. And that's why we have to understand that somebody experiencing mourning, heartbreak, loss, will feel as if I'm dying, you know, help me, I'm dying.
We're speaking with Dr. Jeanette Paris, an author, psychologist, therapist. Her most recent book is titled Heartbreak, Recovery from Lost Love and Mourning. Also in studio, Makiel Clerk. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist and the founding president of the Jungian Society of Utah. And you can join us. We're talking about love and loss and recovery. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Makiel Clerk, we've been talking about the discoveries that neuroscience is and how it's teaching us how to deal with loss, and a bit about depth psychology. As president of the Jungian Society of Utah, who was Carl Jung?
Carl Jung was a Swiss psychologist, psychiatrist in the late 19th century until 1961. And he's one of the founding fathers of depth psychology. And depth psychology is a way of looking at life that takes into account the unconscious. And he brought into mainstream a lot of ideas such as the archetypes, the collective unconscious, instrumental at the philosophy of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, is built on his idea of how to treat an addiction. The Myers-Briggs test is founded on his ideas of introvert and extrovert. So many thoughts and ideas that are in current psychology have their origins in Carl Jung.
He explored dream analysis and symbolism. Was he a mystic?
Well, that's a very common question, and usually has many answers. One is that there's clearly a mystical side to his thinking. At the other hand, he was also a scientist, and his books are far more scientific because it's rooted into the experience he had and his clients, and out of the experience he built a way of looking at the psyche and a way of looking at life.
Dr. Paris, in the book, you make it pretty clear that you don't want this to be some sort of new age approach to a healthy psyche or some, you know, 10-step program for recovery. It's a bit deeper, a little broader than that. Dr. Paris?
Well, new age is dangerous when it focuses only on the positive, the angelic, the miraculous. Because basically, it's usually not a lack of positive thinking that makes us sick, but the failure to look at what doesn't work, what keeps us neurotic, what Jung used to call the shadow. So it's the New Age approach, which I find is very much a kind of reheated Christianity, and looks at things as if, you know, just focusing on the light and the beautiful and the positive will work. Well, the problem with that New Age approach is that it's not the lack of positive motivation. It's the not looking at what's in the way. So what Jung called looking at the shadow is much more interesting, because that's usually what's in the way. It's what doesn't, you know, happen in our life. It's what kind of self-sabotage. That's the problem. And it's a failure when, you know, you one of the most popular book, New Age book, is The Secret. So it doesn't work, you know, to just implore the universe to give you this, this, and that, money, glory, honey. It won't happen. And when you discover that, you know, just wishing for the miracle doesn't bring anything, then it creates despair. So New Age is something that I believe psychologists could do more work denouncing. You know, saying, wait a minute, this will not work. You better turn your head towards what is negative in your psyche. And That's what Jung used to call the shadow. Maybe I want to say a few words about what Maciel just mentioned. Jung is indeed often considered a mystic, and that's why in my academic life I always had to fight against that reputation of Jung. But it's very much like the Buddhists when they say, you know, Buddhism is not really a religion, it's a psychology. So what Jung really was trying to do is to look at the highest dimension in the psyche, and he wanted to convince everybody that, you know, the psyche is capable of awe and reaching the highest dimension that humans are capable to achieve without a religion. So the perception of him as a mystique is kind of biased, I believe. It's just like thinking that Buddhism is a religion. When it's a philosophical discipline, it's a psychology. So you could say, you know, the Dalai Lama is a mystique, or Jung is a mystique, but I think it's more like wisdom, a school of wisdom.
We're speaking with Dr. Jeanette Paris. She is a psychologist, a therapist, an author. Her latest book, Heartbreak, Recovery from Lost Love and Mourning. And Dr. Paris is coming to Salt Lake this weekend. She'll be in town to present the lecture Love and Heartbreak tomorrow night at the Jewish Community Center. And on Saturday, she presents a workshop, Deepening Love Through Heartbreak. That's a day-long seminar, again, at the JCC. There's more information on our website, kcpw.org. We're talking about recovering from a broken heart. If you've survived and thrived after a lost love or a grief, how did you do it? Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. A broken heart may be just a metaphor, but neurologically, the emotional pain of heartbreak and mourning can feel like torture. Today on the program, we're talking about the psychology of lost love and new ways to heal a broken heart. If you've healed from a broken heart, we'd love to hear your stories. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Maciel Clerc is the founding president of the Jung Society of Utah. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. Also with us, Dr. Jeanette Paris, a psychologist, therapist, and author, and her latest book is Heartbreak, Recovery from Lust, Love, and Mourning, and she's coming to Salt Lake City this weekend for two events at the Jewish Community Center. More information is on our website, kcpw.org. Before the break, we were talking about depth psychology kind of as a grounding for this larger discussion about healing from heartbreak. Dr. Paris, in the book, you write that a heartbreak is a master teacher. Expand on that. What can heartbreak teach us?
It can teach us to understand better what a higher level of functioning in human relations, because basically in the brain, love addiction means that you're addicted to the other person. It's really, literally like a drug addiction. You need the other person. You need the other person to take care of your needs. And it's as if you have a very strong memory of, you know, wanting to own your mother or father. And just the same way a child needs the parent, you will need the other. When that happens, the other will eventually take his or her distance. You know, an adult is not somebody who should depend that much on any other person to satisfy the needs. right there you have a kind of necessity to detach or to separate what is called attachment, which means that, of course, we are attached to those we love, but being dependent on the other for everything on your daily life, for your emotional stability, is a kind of a problem. And that's what a heartbreak does. It forces you to evolve because the other is not there anymore. So it takes care of what we call the love addiction, which is not love. It's filled with projection. And you are my partner. I own you. You must do this and that for me. And it frees the relationship of all these burdens of projections.
Maciel Clerc, thoughts on that, on heartbreak as a teacher, as something that we can learn from?
Yeah, definitely. Very often a crisis forms the beginning of the individuation process. That's what Jung called the process of psychological growth. And difficult places are very often places where we can learn a lot and where we can, and if we don't learn from it, it will turn against us, just as just described, and it becomes a shadow that pulls us down instead of a place where we can deepen our experience and live more fully. And I think that is also one of the reasons why we founded the Jung Society of Utah, is to provide a place here in Salt Lake where people can deepen their experience and get psychological perspectives that sometimes lay a little bit out of the mainstream, which depth psychology is. And perspectives that truly provide an additional element to their lives and give people a place for fulfillment.
We're talking about mending a broken heart, recovering from lost love. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's go to the phones. Heidi is calling us from Salt Lake City. Heidi, hello.
Hello. Thank you for this great topic and your wonderful program. I have a quick comment about my own personal situation and a question and then a suggestion. I went through a horrendous divorce recently, and it was the most wonderful relationship I had ever had. I was in no hurry to make a second mistake, and yet it was a second marriage that went wrong. The relationship was great, and then the marriage was not good. And so I moved back to Salt Lake, and that's my story of how I was able to recover, so to speak, because I didn't have the network of friends and family in a much larger city that I had moved away to in the Midwest. And so moving back to my hometown of Salt Lake City really helped. And I'm starting to grow a garden, literally, and transforming my life, learning to love life again through my first grandchild. It's all very wonderful. And then my question is, I was wondering, how do you tell if a relationship is a good one before it goes wrong? Or can you only say that a relationship is good when it doesn't end in divorce? It seems like it's almost like hindsight is, you know, 50-50 or 100, what is that phrase? Anyway, hindsight tells you everything, because if it didn't work out, then it wasn't a good relationship, and if it succeeds, then it is a good relationship. And then my suggestion really quick is, the legal system is so out of touch with any kind of modern psychology. I really highly suggest, if your guests have not thought of it, to do workshops with the family law division of, you know, the court system, because they literally, there's no place for feelings inside the legal system that we have now, and there's no there's no compensation for any kind of damage done to the heart, damage done to the brain even.
Heidi, some good points. Thanks very much for the call. Dr. Paris, first, changing your physical landscape, how does that affect your psychological landscape?
It's always a good idea. It provokes what neuroscientists call neurogenesis. So it forces the brain to learn new things, to orient oneself in a new environment. and kind of cuts the addiction to the routine that used to be our routine with the deceased or abandoning partner. You see, what I would like to answer to this question is to point out that when you lose a relationship, you don't just lose the other person. You lose who you were with that person. That's the first loss. You lose who you were for that person, and you've lost that person in your life. So it's much more complicated than first thought. It's a triple loss. So in order to overcome that, you need to completely change all of your routines, everything that you used to do. And by the way, the theory that was popular for a long time in psychology used to indicate that a one-year cycle would do it. You know, you go through mourning or loss, and if you go one Christmas without the other, and one birthday, and one anniversary, and one summer, and you do that cycle for 1 year, and then you're healed.
So time heals all wounds. Is that the old adage?
It doesn't always work. It works only if you really work at healing your heart. If you stay hooked on hope, hooked on thoughts like, that was a bad relationship, mistake I did, and you don't look into it, what was really bad about it? How did you collude with that? How come you didn't see what was bad before you got into that relationship? Then time does not heal. And I'm sure you all know people who are heartbroken for the rest of their lives, depressed, lonely, isolated. So it's not enough just to say, you know, that was a bad marriage and let's move on and in a year I'll be all right. There is such a thing as psychic death. It means the psyche stays stuck in a relationship that didn't work. And often what you see is that the person will do the same mistake again, will not see what doesn't work or what will not work in the new relationship. And basically it's the same problem. So time will heal if you really look at what was going on in that relationship, how not to repeat the mistake. And that's where I think, you know, somebody like Maciel or myself or anybody who does depth psychological approach, Jungian archetypal, an approach that takes into account the unconscious, will look at what resides in the deep folds of the brain that makes you, that breaks you when the relationship ends.
To Heidi's second point, Maciel Clerc, how do we measure what a good relationship is? Is it just because if it was bad, if it failed, or are there measurable, you know, details that we can point to say this relationship is good?
Well, that's a great question. And maybe that is also why if people don't recover from previous relationships, then the next relationship is going to be really difficult because people have built up a wall around them that prevents them to truly connect to another. And therefore, we do invite the people in Salt Lake to come tomorrow to learn how to look at those elements that didn't work well in their previous relationship and how they can deal with the loss and grief so that they will be ready for a new relationship when it comes and that they can love deeply and give themselves deeply to the moment without holding back. And then in itself, the relationship will tell the individual whether it is fulfilling And a fulfilling relationship encompasses ups and downs and a whole wide spectrum of emotions. And so if you can experience a broad spectrum of emotions in a relationship and yet stay connected to the other and truly respect the other for who they are, then that might be a relationship that will work and is fulfilling.
Heidi, thanks for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Let's go to Eric, who's been holding in Salt Lake City. Eric, hi.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Very good. Hey, I'm interested in your program. It resonates with me in a couple of ways. Anxiety, things like that. I had a situation a year ago where I was thinking of some of the things that were causing me anxiety. And I had it felt like a cramped muscle in my chest release. And it was almost lifting. And I was wondering if your panel would comment on that, if that makes any sense to them or what.
All right. Eric, thanks very much for the call. Machio Cleric, you're nodding your head.
Yeah. The psyche and the emotions and the body are not totally two different phenomena. With the body, we experience emotions and ideas. And they truly live in the body. So also, therefore, a broken heart is a real physical problem for the body. Or anxiety can tension up the muscles. And we can approach the psyche by approaching the body and the emotions. And so it is really important to pay attention to physical problems when you experience emotional upheaval.
Dr. Paris, so what is neuroscience showing us on this point? What is the link between thinking and feeling and, physical pain?
Well, neuroscience is very clear about that, and one can sum it in a nutshell. Whatever the psyche does not see, the body will carry. So the connection between psyche and soma, somatic studies, show that, if your chest or your heart starts beating and you don't listen to it and don't translate that as where you're stuck in your psyche, then the body will continue to express it. It's as if the body is talking. The body is telling you, you're in a panic right now. Do something quick. And that's the difference between, the acute and the chronic. The acute would be the reaction that you have when you come home and your partner left a note on the table saying, I don't love you anymore, bye-bye. You have an acute reaction that's very, very extreme. The whole neurovegetative system, it's like having basically the body goes into a kind of reaction that's similar to having a gun put to your head. So, and that is a form of extreme anxiety. And by the way, anxiety, when scientists want to study anxiety in the lab, they just separate the little mouse from its mother. That's the experimental definition of anxiety. So when you're separated from whatever used to give you your identity, your safety, you go into that extreme expression of anxiety that is acute. Now, the chronic is when this acute response continues in your body and it becomes chronic. And that's where it's very much like the wear and tear on the machine. So if you remain in that place of despair, isolation, panic, that's when the body suffers. It becomes chronic and you're caught in that vicious cycle that can make you very, very sick or kill you. Mm. That's why, the popular wisdom that says, oh, you're having a heartbreak or you're mourning your partner, just move on, doesn't make any sense, because the person in that chronic state of panic is stuck. The psyche is stuck, and the body is expressing that stuckness, if you allow the expression. You cannot move on. You're hooked on hope, or you're refusing to accept the loss. You don't receive help. You're isolated. All of these aspects are very, very dangerous. So, of course, it might be the chest, it might be the heart, it might be the legs that will, you know, the body is talking. It's saying, do something, do something. Mm. You cannot remain in that state. In fact, it's not just the body. Sometimes cognitively also you read something and you don't understand what you're reading. It's not just the body. It's all of the cognitive functions as well.
Well, our time is short, sadly, but I wanted to get to some possible solutions. And I understand that Jung saw a lot of power in the narrative form, in literature. Dr. Paris, what role can metaphors, symbolism, stories play in healing a heart?
Very, very important, and it's difficult to express in a nutshell. That's the one part that I find difficult to express in a nutshell. But neuroscience has discovered that if you change the symbolic environment, if you, in our language, we can sometimes refer to as changing your myth. You know, we live under what one can call the mythology of the time. And some narratives are destructive. Racism, sexism are destructive stories. You know, it says if you're a woman, you're less capable than a man, and it becomes something that defines you. Racism is the same kind of myth that is lousy, a lousy myth. So neuroscience demonstrates that if you change the myth you live by, if you change the symbols that carry meaning for you, it changes the synaptic connections in the brain. And you can then move your story forward. It's like you have to start a new chapter in your life. And that is not done by deciding, I'm going to start a new chapter in my life. It's done by looking at what symbols and stories live actually in your mind, and kind of upgrading those stories.
Macchio Clerk,
that's the work. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask Macchio Clerk if you know, writing that new chapter. It's a very active participation. It's not just a decision, but requires some action on your part, Macchio Clerk.
That is right, and in the workshop that Jeanette on Saturday will do with us, there will also be a very practical element to it. And so people that are suffering from these problems, heartbreak in any form whatsoever, can come to the workshop and learn more from the neuroscience, from the depth psychology about it, but also will get tools to work with this problem and help them create different narratives or different symbols. And I think that is what is great about the events that we host with the Jung Society, is that they both provide insight as well as a medicine to deal with the pain that we suffer.
Mm-hmm. Macchio Clerk, he is the founding president of the Jung Society of Utah. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. And Macchio, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much. And I would love to invite all the people in Salt Lake to come Friday evening for free to the event at the JCC or to the workshop on Saturday. And for those that can't see it, we also broadcast it online via jungplatform.com.
And there will be links to all of that information on our website, kcpw.org. Dr. Jeanette Paris, psychologist, therapist, and author of the book Heartbreak, Recovery from Lost Love and Mourning. Again, she's coming to Utah this weekend for workshops tomorrow night and Saturday at the Jewish Community Center, 2 North Medical Drive in Salt Lake City. Dr. Paris, thanks very much for your time as well.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we're talking about the beauty of children's voices. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.